open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly those in the public gallery. And I'd also like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Goombangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. I'll now call for apologies.
Councillor James Angel. And Evan Webb.
And the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Webb. I also need to remind everyone that this meeting's being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statements. Also, if you have a mobile phone with you, would you turn it to silent, please? Are there any disclosures of interest? Neil?
Yep.
I'd now like to invite Pastor Sidney Coetzee from the Christian Life Centre Church on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council members and members of the public. Great honour and privilege again to represent the churches of this valley. And it's my privilege to start this meeting in prayer in the name of Jesus. The Word of God says that those who trust in God, He makes the crooked paths straight. So I want to pray tonight that the crooked paths that you need to make straight for this community would be guided by His hand. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy. God, we ask that You say that for those who trust in You, that You would make their crooked paths straight. Thank You for straight paths, Father, for wisdom tonight to make decisions, Father, that will impact many to the good. We thank You that You are a God that we can trust, that You are a Father that is good. And I ask You to bless every council member here tonight, that they may recall and that they may know the wisdom that You give them, that they understand the authority that's been given to them is the authority from God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Confirmation of minutes, councillors, from the ordinary meeting of the 14th of September. Moved Councillor Jones. Yeah. Seconded Councillor Genvey. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Go straight to notices of motion. The first is on page 14 of your business paper, and I'll formally move that. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Next notice of motion is on page 15, item 5.2. I'll also formally move that. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Jones.
Madam Mayor, I actually managed to have a bit of a chat to a few of the Blaisade people because they share the depot with community transport. And look, I just think they do a fantastic job. They're gearing up. They've got a lot of equipment, and they were saying they've got a couple of other depots around the state, and I think one further south and one further, which makes perfect sense. I just think that they're a fantastic organisation and really support getting them a permanent site.
I think that's part of the issue is having bits and pieces spread everywhere, and that what they're looking at is having somewhere central so they can quickly deploy and actually be on the ground very, very quickly. They do have a lot of gear, which is invaluable in times of both floods and fires or storm events. So,
I think they've got about 20 trailers over there at the moment and two or three cars and a couple of toilets. But the gentleman I was talking to was saying they've got nearly 100 of those units spread around.
And they're not the sort of... I mean, we saw what happened in Kian Road Fire when you do need portaloos and, you just can't get them. So they have all of that gear, but in between times they need to be able to store it somewhere and they need to be able to get it out and deployed where it's needed really, really quickly. And again, they're not asking for financial assistance. They're just asking... They're asking for a resolution of council to back their request and to give them a little more leverage, hopefully, with state and federal government for some assistance. Again, not necessarily cash, but perhaps some available land. And I think councillors will recall there's that policy that Mr. Walsh might be able to help me out. For state government owned land, there is a policy where it's for community benefit, that it can be sold at less than market value. It's a community...
With Casey, the soccer fields.
Yes. The policy that under which... I thought it was LPMA. Is it land and property?
Through the general manager, Madam Mayor, they may have one as well. The Casey Drive property was a Transport for New South Wales offloading policy, essentially, they had for a...
Yeah, we purchased from them, but I thought the policy was a state government policy that applied to all state government-owned land if it was surplus.
Couldn't be 100%.
Anyway, what they're looking for is some backing and some support from us. So, okay, if there's no other discussion, I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. And another notice of motion, page 16, item 5.3. I'll also move that. Seconded, Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Fairly straightforward. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 16, item 5.3. Sorry. 17, 9.1. Moved, Councillor Vance. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Is there any discussion? I had a couple of questions. Very first one on the list, this asbestos management register. What's the actual delay in that? The funding's been included in the budget. As plans are being sent out. So that was February 23. So have we sort of sent plans to people that they're going to make comment on before we can finalise registers? Or can anyone sort of clarify why this is still an outstanding item? It goes back to March 2022, that's all?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, the registers, basically what I have identified, what asbestos is in our buildings. It needs to be audited to, basically there's been works done over years and have been updated, so this, what's been budgeted for is for them to be audited by a contractor. Who will then update and we will have accurate management plans for each building.
Okay.
So it's a budget allocation, it's just a matter of with the process of getting a contractor on board.
Okay, so the register can't be completed until we actually know,
do the audit,
and we can't do the audit until we've engaged a contractor. Okay, thank you. And... there were a couple of others that I think I'd marked. The free camping at Barrowville, there's a reference to an alternate site that it sounds like there's agreement on. Can I ask where the alternate site is? Councillor Genvey may be able to... answer, you attended the meetings, I believe. You were the...
I had just a phone conversation with Mr. Lowe, but I just know from the Chamber of Commerce and those people interested, Council was putting forward a site near the pub, but the Chamber, so on that road, is it Belmore Street or something? Yeah. But it is the vehicle detour, heavy vehicle detour or something. There was a bit of an issue with that through residents' eyes anyway, and I think they were wanting something up at the RSL, but I don't know. That's the last I heard.
Oh, okay.
So they're come to a sort of not a resolution, but that they could be near premises rather than down on the river where there are toilets and facilities and things like that. So passage surveillance.
Mr. Walsh to make a comment.
The general manager, yes. So the site on Belmore Street that Councillor Jennings referred to has been looked at as a site. In the preparation of that, it's been flagged the land opposite the RSL club. So the last comment there, talking about a meeting with Craig Bellamy from the chamber, was to evaluate that site before the.
So is that their actual car park? Is that the land you're referring to?
Yeah, the grass section opposite. It was a resolution from when the Barrable Master Plan was adopted, was to consider sites around that area. So the intent is for a meeting to be arranged to evaluate that site and then head with a final solution.
And the RSL got government funding, federal funding, for an evacuation type centre. So it's going to have showers up there, I think, that are accessible and things like that.
Through the general manager, yes, they have. They got funding. A DA's been approved. Mm-hmm. It's got toilets, change rooms downstairs, and increase capacity upstairs to disaster.
Thank you. The item on the Nambucca Heads RSL car park. The latest comment there is that for some reason, this is the first I've seen. Manager Projects is waiting on formal response from New South Wales Public Works confirming their contribution to works required. So can somebody give us an update as to how and when and where Public Works have come into this issue?
Yes, I'm happy to, Madam Mayor. What we found is when we got to the bottom end of the car park where the concrete slab is there before the retaining wall and the outlet to the river, there was a big cavity underneath that concrete. And what we've done is we've tied that to the stormwater overflow during the last flooding period and had a positive response from Public Works that they may fund that work. So we've basically stopped or put a stop to the any further work pending an outcome from that application. So that application's been put together. We've also tied some of the actual car park pavement rehabilitation to that. So the total might be bold, but our total application is $800,000+. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get the full amount, but if we get a significant amount of that, then Public Works will be, through the disaster funding, will be paying for the completion of the stormwater and part of the car park pavement. And councillors will know that the car park has been a long-standing issue with the RSL club. Mm-hmm. So we may be able to actually deal with two issues and have it funded by someone else. So that's the plan. We're not sure how long it'll take to get that answer back from Public Works. We only submitted that this week. So.
Okay, thank you. And where are we? The trees at Barrable. And I notice this is crossed off as though it's completed. This is where someone dug that trench along the side of Coronation Road. And is it Coronation Street? Coronation Street. Dug that trench and damaged all of the tree roots, and then once they were inspected, they were at risk of, they were so damaged that they'll fall on the preschool or cars parked there. So there was a significant cost involved in removing them. Notice it says, response from NBN, no further avenue for compensation. Do I take it these were contractors working for NBN Co?
That's correct. I may be to respond to that, Madam Mayor.
Aren't they going to pay for the removal and replacement of the trees, seeing as they dug them up and damaged them?
They did. On further investigation, one of council staff members approved the alignment of that line. There's no avenue for us to look for compensation from NBN.
Oh. Well, that answers that. Thank you. Another one. This is one perhaps through the general manager for Mr. Sykes. And that's number 15, council note of procedure. It's about the procedure for the sale of land for unpaid rates and so forth, and that the rates and charges process and the debt recovery policy will be updated. That part of it can probably be actually dropped from this report. But it just prompted my memory, and I wanted to ask. I recall a response, I think it was sent to all councillors from the Chief Financial Officer, the last time when we went to sale of land for unpaid rates. There were a couple of properties that were sold at auction but didn't deliver a price that covered the back rates, and I recall asking about it, and I think that we then got a written response or an emailed response from the Chief Financial Officer. And I completely understand the reasons, because between COVID and we had some significant staffing shortages and so forth. But I just wanted to ask, and I know that Mr. Sykes has like a special timetable for all of the reporting requirements for all of the audits and all of that sort of thing. Do we have something in place, like a reminder, to ensure that if something has gone the 5 years, the rates have been unpaid and the debt is building up, we got sort of like a reminder system or a calendar that actually flags that, so that the same thing doesn't happen again? That you have like $30,000 worth of unpaid rates, and then when it is sold, you get $10,000 for the piece of land?
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, not that I'm aware of. You're correct, it should be checked annually, because there is a risk that each year that there could be properties that trip into that threshold, the 5 years. And obviously you want to good number of properties that trip into that threshold to make it worthwhile if you're going down that sale of land for unpaid rates. So I'll have to take that question on notice and get back to you. I'm not aware of an actual process in place to review.
Yeah, that's fine to take it on notice. It's just that I recall that a couple of those blocks of land, you know, the rates had been unpaid for quite a long period of time. So the legislation, I think, says if there's been no attempt or effort or nothing paid in 5 years. Because the other thing that we did find is when we went to auction for, suddenly people found the money to pay the rates.
For the General Manager, that's correct. I think vacant land is greater than 1 year, I think, and
occupied is five years.
Mm. And there was during COVID, I think the OLG softened their debt recovery stance, so that's caused some of those older issues. Yeah. But there were some that would have been, if they had not been there, they still would have been well past the 5 years. So, I'll investigate a procedure.
Yeah, but my recollection is we ended up still writing off something like $40,000 worth of unpaid rates. So, perhaps more timely. Just wondered whether, with these two policies, whether there's sort of, some kind of a reminder mechanism. That was all. And the EPA one, the last one,
Shellfish.
Number 16, and it's sort of crossed off to disappear off this list. Request the EPA consider including a representative from the oyster farming industry at their stakeholder group meetings. Did, and it's crossed off for this to disappear off the list. Did they agree?
Yes, they did, Madam Mayor, and our first meeting was held yesterday. And quite successfully. And the oyster farming industry have agreed to provide a representative as a spokesperson rather than the whole
dealing
group.
With, yep.
So, and that worked quite well yesterday.
Oh, good. No, it's just that that was, you know, the resolution of council, and I see it's crossed off to disappear, but there was no actual response as to whether they were happy to have someone on there. All right, that was my list. Sorry, councillors. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We go to page 27, item 9.2. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 28, item 9.3. Moved, Councillor Jenvey. Seconded, Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. No late reports here. So page 30, item 10.1. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion?
Just ask one question, if I may, please, for you, Mr. Sykes. In the it mentions there who should be required to put in the forms. You have councillors, designated staff, and then other designated persons. Other persons doesn't include Peter Laurie, which was the one I thought should possibly have been in there because he was chairman for the whole 12 months that the report covers.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Wilson, my apologies. He actually has provided a disclosure, even though it's not listed there in the report.
Thank you. And I had a question. We had a designated person who did not provide a return and is no longer in council's employ. Is that an issue for us? Does the council have to follow that up? Or
through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, that's over enthusiasm on my behalf. Under the Local Government Act section 422B, if they are not a councillor or a designated person 3 months prior to the 30th of June, they're not required to supply a return.
Okay. Even though they were making decisions, and so that's a bit weird. The whole point of it was for transparency.
Section 422, Part B, states that 3 months prior.
I can make a comment there, so I'm trying to work out how to. So if you were a person who were inclined to do something dishonest, you just make sure you move on 3 months before the end of the year and you don't have to disclose any of your interests.
Through the General Manager, I can't comment to that. That's the Local Government Act, Madam Mayor.
Well, but essentially that's what is possible under that clause of the Local Government Act.
Through the General Manager, yes, Madam Mayor.
Hypothetically, that's possible.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Oh, well, thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 32, item 10.2. This is the election of the Deputy Mayor. So, would someone like to move recommendations 1, 2 and 3? Because we can't do the other two yet. Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. So we now have to proceed to the election. And how many nominations do we have, Mr. General Manager?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have only one nomination for the position of Deputy Mayor, and that is Councillor John Wilson.
Well, on the basis that there is only one nomination, I don't believe we need to go to a secret ballot. And for that reason, I will declare Councillor Wilson duly elected as Deputy Mayor for the term of office expiring the 13th of September 2024. Congratulations, Councillor Wilson. And I should also thank Councillor Wilson for his service as Deputy Mayor for the last 12 months, for all the times that he's had to fill in when two things are on the same day, and as yet I still haven't learnt how to be in two places at once, or for covering while I have taken the occasional bit of leave. So thank you, Councillor Wilson. Just think, you've got all the school presentation days coming up shortly, yes, and they always clash.
Need to move five.
Well, why are we moving them?
Then you only move one, two, and three.
Oh, number five does, but
number four, we don't need four.
Four just is a non-event to me because
correct.
Move number five.
Yeah, five does need to be moved. Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Genvey. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Moved Councillor Jones and seconded Councillor Genvey. Page 35, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Genvey, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 37, item 10.4. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
Through you, Madam Mayor, to the General Manager, on if it's more appropriate that the
Councillors, if it's a question for staff, yes, it's through the General Manager. Either to the General Manager or through the General Manager. The only question that is through the Chair is if a Councillor wants to ask another Councillor a question. But all questions to staff must, it's the General Manager that you have to ask, not me.
Okay. Well, through the
Acting
General Manager to the Director of Corporate Services. Just around the serious maladministration, and it's just a question based on a hypothetical. There's one there, it's called maladministration, I think it's the second up point. Refusing to grant an approval for reasons that are not related to the merits of that application. What if there was a sort of hypothetical where you didn't want to vote for didn't want to grant approval for something because you didn't think council's processes were up to scratch, rather than the application itself, the processes around it were thinking perhaps you didn't like the way submissions were done, or you know, that councillors weren't informed enough or something like that.
Through the Acting General Manager, Councillor Genvey, that would have to be considered in the context of the voluntary disclosure. So it's very hard to make comment on that without knowing all the background behind
specifics
it.
Specifics of it. It's just, I mean, it forces you to approve something that you may think of principle shouldn't be approved, and it may progress a long way. But really, you think, wow, I don't really think that should have got that far or something, you know, but it... The actual act forces you to approve it, unless there's something that, because it doesn't look at council's processes.
Through the General Manager, all voluntary disclosures are required to have investigations. So, yeah, not just accepting the disclosure straight up from port maker, there's a rigorous investigation process involved in it.
Council does the investigation, though, doesn't it? Yes.
Correct. And there will be training provided, and there was a link to the Ombudsman changes to the PID Act provided in the report. So that should give guidance on you need to consider when making a voluntary disclosure.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 42, item 11.1. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 45, item 11.2. Moved, Councillor Genvey. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Councillor Vance, I think, was first.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Daniel for the report. Just in regards to the recommendation, the whole reason for asking for this report was to bring tourists to the town. In the report, it says that it reports that there's a charging station in Hambucca on the highway, in Maxville. The reason they're on the highway is because it's a business and it's about feeding the people into the business, making them spend money there at the service centre and then move on. So I asked for this report so we can install EV chargers, paid EV chargers, in tourist hotspots like Nambucca down at the V-Wall. There's the Lions Club Park, the main street at Nambucca. There's a good spot that you reported on at the gym, but there is a grant coming out, and it's a $20 million grant. There's $7 million already spent. There's a round two coming up. I think that we should look at the round two and look at other spots to bring people into the town rather than keep them on the highway. So I'd like to make an amendment and go with option... option two, and add in Nambucca Heads as a focus point. Main Street, if we can. The Lions Park down at near the Garden Centre.
Anzac Park?
Mm.
Anzac Park.
Yeah. Bellwood. Beewall. There is also another council-owned car park in behind
the Beauty Street.
Yeah.
Down the back behind the...
There's like 100 parks out there.
Pub. Yeah. Rarely ever used.
Yeah. No, the one in behind the co-op, a bottle shop.
Oh, in here.
Oh, you're talking Maxville. Oh, Maxville. Star Street car park.
Yeah, Star Street car park.
Sorry, I thought you were talking Nambucca Heads.
Yeah. Mm. Clarifications at Lions Park?
Zanzac Park. Okay, thank you. There's also the Lions Lookout that people call Lions Park, but... Councillor Vance means down near the Garden Centre, so it's looked after by the Lions. Were you going to add, because I had a note here about that grant funding, were you going to add that Council investigate...
Round two.
Just investigate grant funding.
New South Wales grant funding.
Yep.
For EV chargers.
Just be grant funding.
Okay. Do you want to just make it grant funding so that we don't want to limit it to just state government? They could investigate grant funding opportunities for EV chargers, perhaps, would be...
And for paid EV chargers, because we want to cover costs. We don't want it to break down and then not have money to fix it, so.
Sorry, no, I think it just means opportunities for paid EV charges, full stop. And perhaps option two, when anyone's reading the minutes, that's not going to mean anything to them, and it is important that we are careful about how we word questions or recommendations. So that should probably, that should probably be that council consider alternate locations, including just trying to, Councillor Vance is saying he wants to go with option two, that's he is suggesting the alternate locations. The council consider. You happy with that, Councillor Vance? I haven't wordsmithed it and changed the meaning on you. Okay, do we have a seconder for the amendment? Seconded Councillor Jones. It's open for discussion. Councillor Janvey.
Look, I'd like to speak against the amendment because the report says it has to be in a flood-free zone. A lot of those points there are flood-prone.
Main Street.
Yeah, it also has to be a council... it has to have three-phase power. So usually that means a council building, like a library or something. So...
do our sewer pump stations run on three-phase power?
Three-phase power to our house.
All of our sewer pump stations would have three-phase power. I would. And Mr. Walsh is nodding his head.
So, but is that flood-prone down there? There's a pump station down at Beard Creek or whatever it is. That's pretty flood-prone, isn't it?
In a really, really bad flood. But then again, so is everything between Maxwell and Nambucca Heads.
Yeah,
so is the aquatic centre.
The committee looked at this with quite a lot of depth. The report came to us. And we had funding set aside for an EV charger for council's own EV fleet, which is still an issue. I mean, that's somewhat addressed in this report, as in there's congestion already in the staff car park. If we put it on Station Street on this side of the building, you've got both a overflow from the two of the Caltex plus our own vehicles could use it. I mean, this is a very nascent phase of EV charging stations. We're not in the prime zone to put EV charging stations in at the moment with grant funding. We're not on the Central Coast or whatever it is, whatever zones they've put in there. It's like a bit like saying, oh, council should be in the business of petrol stations or something. You know, we're sort of not, but I don't think we... I think we need to look after ourselves as well as provide what opportunity we can with the small bit of funding that we have at the moment. I don't say don't look out for grant funding opportunities, but at the moment the one side in Maxwell fits the best with what we have. And the other sites in Nambucca were Reedy Street and somewhere else. So I thought it was a pretty good job of what we were presented with at a technical level.
Mind you, the reverse of that is that as a council, shouldn't we be first of all encouraging people to reduce their carbon footprint? This is not just... I know Councillor Vance has commented on bringing tourists in, but what about all of the local people who want to buy electric vehicles? Shouldn't they have a number of options, and particularly older residents, to have to go to the highway and to the service centre. If they live in Maxville, charge in Maxville, shop in Maxville, stay in Maxville. Mostly, it's not just about tourists.
Mostly locals will get a charger at home, I'd say. Spend $1,400 and you charge at home as part of your vehicle stuff. A lot easier.
A lot of the vehicles now, they're coming out with smaller batteries. Yeah. So cars in the city, they might only have a 100-kilometre battery. They're more affordable. So what you'll have is you'll have people that might be in Valley Beach, come in, charge their car. Not everyone can afford a charger at home. And it's an opportunity to do it at a reduced rate that covers the cost, because it is quite expensive to go to the one across the road. Mm. It's, you know, might cost $40 to charge your car across the road, whereas I do mine at home, and it costs me $6 to get 480 kilometres. So there's a big difference in the cost.
I understand too there are issues with charging at home for people who live in units and flat blocks where the electricity supply is not set up so that you can, not without major expense of having a unit completely rewired. And obviously if you're renting, that's even more of an issue.
I just don't know that council is, any councils were in the space of owning petrol stations. It's pretty similar. Oh,
there's lots of councils doing paid. I watched a seminar. They've got a full program on it. They're all doing it now.
Well, if you read the amendment, it's only to consider alternate locations, and I think in considering them that the flood-prone issue would be considered. But as I pointed out, even here in Station Street, this building goes underwater in a 1-in-20-year flood. And the last flood, I think, came up to the car park. The whole street was underwater, and the car park over at the Aquatic Centre goes under. And the other aspect is to investigate grant funding opportunities. So it's not actually saying we're going to do this and that's the decision you're making tonight. It's just that you're not ditching the idea altogether, and this is calling for additional information. Anyway, if there's no other discussion, I'm going to put the amendment. Those in favour? Against? Amendment is carried. It becomes the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Councillor Buchanan.
I find it hard to believe that Bellwood and Beowall are locations because of that water aspect that they are, the fact that they're close to it, is, you know, salt water, both possible spray and things like that at the Beowall in particular. Not be the best for it, but I'm happy with everything else in there. Because of that, I'm overly keen on the idea of having those two as preferred locations that we would. Otherwise, I have no problem with it's up there.
Thank you. As I said, it's the council consider, so I'm assuming that there'll be further investigation. It'll come back to council, and I suspect that flooding of the site, salt water corrosion and damage to the units would be part of that consideration. Councillor Vance.
The reason for the V-wall was because it's a tourist destination. It's got a huge park that has thousands of people there over the Christmas periods. They'll have family come to visit them. They can charge their cars, go home. It'll be used, probably the most used charger in the valley being there. And you can have it pretty close to the reception area. There's parks. Just all it would take would be two parks.
Or about out at the headland, headland above Main Beach. If that goes underwater in a flood, we're going to need an ark. It's a parking area, also very popular, like the number of tourists that drive out to the headland and then turn around and come back. Usually people who are lost in their camper vans and towing their caravans, but there's another location that be ideal for visitors, and it gets them straight to the beaches and to our lookout areas and then down onto Wellington Drive. Councillor Janvey.
There is an issue with salt-laden air. You need an EV that's rated at IP66, so they're not even currently available. But the report as it exists does list Gordon Park Tennis Courts, Wellington Park. I mean, if that's not in the middle of a main tourist area, you know, we have a council-managed reserve.
Councillor Janvey, Gordon Park Tennis Courts, why would you support that and not the V-wall? Because they're both equally flat, they're both equally close to the salt water.
Well, it's flood-free. This is what's in the report. It was written that Wellington Drive car park at Gordon Park Tennis Courts.
And why would the V-wall not be flood-free? Because it's no lower
boats
than...
Boats go over it in the tide.
Not up at the reception area.
Oh. But there's a small section between the V-wall and Gordon Park that gets wave inundation and gets cut about halfway along. Anyway, this is about considering and investigating, so I'm guessing all of those matters, and I'm quite sure our staff, they have access to all of the flood maps, they have knowledge of what floods, where the waves come up. I'm sure Mr. Williams has been around on council long enough to know what roads get cut and where the waves come up and what washes and what doesn't. There's probably more chance of a giant landslip from the top side coming down on top of your EV charger than... I won't say that because I might jinx this. Councillor Janvey.
Through the General Manager, please, a question to Mr. Walsh. Do you have an opinion on the investigations in Nambucca and Maxwell with... we're only noting, obviously, but there was quite an investigation done on... Nambucca Heads?
Yes, through the General Manager, Councillor Janvey, there was an investigation done. The suggested sites are based on areas where we know there's power to support it. As it's noted, some of those sites aren't suitable at this present time because there isn't the infrastructure, the devices suitable for those areas, but they will come in time. The intent of the report was to flag suggested areas, suggested locations. Obviously, we don't have the budget and we'd be successful for grant funding for all of them. But the intent was to roll them out in stages. So the reason Station Street was picked is when you look at the distribution of fast charging EVs up and down the coast, the two closest are Port and Coffs Harbour. Both well off the either well off the highway or within service centres where you find. Maxwell's only a short detour from the highway, and both this charging station here, as well as the existing charging station at Caltex, gives people travellers the opportunity to pull in quickly off the highway, charge, walk into town, shop, road again, rather than detouring too far off the road. The second benefit was to provide staff the ability to use that for fleet vehicles, and then in future financial years, or if grant funding is available, roll them out in other locations like Nambucca Heads. So the intent from here would be obviously collate those sites that you've suggested in Nambucca Heads, investigate those for power. I think they already have been looked at as part of it, but I'll confirm that. And then look to roll more out when funding's available.
Thank you. Anyway, we're back to the motion, so I'll put it. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Page 49, item 11.3. Moved, Councillor Janvey.
Seconded,
Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 50, item 11.4. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Any discussion? I had a couple of questions on this one. If I may, through the General Manager, I'd like to ask Mr. Walsh, DA 2022-364, the revised plans and view impact assessment were to be received by October. I think this is, if it's the one I think it is, it's been a long and ongoing one. What happens if they're not received? If I may watch that.
Certainly, I'll ask Mr. Walsh to comment.
Through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, the plans and view impact assessment were actually received this afternoon. Yep. Half an hour before walking in, so they look positive, and we'll do the assessment and hopefully determine
this
very soon.
This is the
soon.
One that's been a very long drawn
our
out.
Oldest DA, so hopefully it will go very soon.
I was sort of thinking, you know, if they're not received, is it a refusal or?
It would have.
Because I just sort of thought perhaps this one has gone on long enough, and maybe that's what needs to happen if the amended plans aren't received. I also wanted to ask, and this is just curiosity, if I may also ask Mr. Walsh. Angle Jangle Road, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Why are there two DA numbers? On the same DP.
Through the General Manager, that's a good question, Madam Mayor. That's an error in the report. It is only the one DA. I couldn't say which number is right, but that's an error.
Oh, okay, because they were both lot 26, and I'm sort of thinking, and they both were 30. There were two different DA numbers. Okay. So whichever the number is, it's currently being assessed and it's been referred to the RFS?
Yes, yeah, it's to what the RFS... comments
and one submission has been received.
Yep.
Whichever number it is.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all for the next meeting.
Thank you. Sorry, I just thought, that's unusual. I haven't seen that before. Well, there you go. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Where do we go now? Page 53, item 11.5. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 54, item 11.6. Yeah. Moved, Councillor Vance. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. No late reports in this section. So we go to page 55, item 12.1. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Because Mr. Williams is dying to take a question on notice.
Come on.
None? Those in favour? Against? It's carried.
The trains.
Okay, that's the end of the open business paper. There are no late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting, please?
So moved.
Moved, Councillor Genvey. Seconded, Councillor Vance. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors will now resume in open meeting, and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Item 13.1, the proposal for the recruitment of General Manager. I resolved Councillor Gemby and Councillor Buchanan that one, that Council engage Local Government New South Wales to facilitate the recruitment and selection of a new General Manager. Two, that Council note the proposal from Local Government New South Wales for the recruitment of an interim General Manager. And item three, that Council approve an increase of $35,000 to the recruitment budget W01044 for all costs associated with the recruitment of an interim General Manager and all costs associated with the recruitment and selection of a new General Manager. I need to mention that that was division.
Division and carried unanimously.
So that was a division, and upon being put to the meeting, the motion was declared carried unanimously. Item 13.2 in the confidential closed meeting, Worrell Creek subdivision progress update. It was resolved, moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Genby, and resolved that Council notes the legal advice sought regarding the proposed subdivision of the Worrell Creek land, known as lots 9, 17, 18 of DP 884316, and issue letters to relevant parties advising that Council will not be proceeding with the subdivision as originally planned and will not be proceeding to contract for the sale of the land, and that Council survey the land boundaries with lot 1 DP 374127 and lot 6 DP 748478 to identify if there are any encroachments from these lots, and that Council report the findings of the encroachment survey to Council with options for the potential subdivision of that land. And the third item in the closed meeting was item 13.3, moved Councillor Buchanan and seconded Councillor Wilson of matters regarding realised or potential losses, and the resolution that Council that the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation be received. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spanagel. And there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their courtesy and for their attendance, and I'll declare the meeting closed.